folks I know. They need their morning coffee. They need their morning coffee to help face the day. But all I need is his sweet inspiration in my life to pick me up and get me on my way. I have a cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. I have a cup of Jesus to get my spirit up. I fill me to the rim with the love that pours from him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus is always worth a second cup. Some folks I know, they wrestle with the devil. They wrestle with the devil because they ain't seen the light. But someday soon I'll have them come for breakfast. Yes, I will. And show them how to start the day out right. Well, have a cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. We'll have a cup of Jesus to get our spirits up. We'll fill us to the rim with the love that pours from him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus is always worth a second cup. Cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. We'll have a cup of Jesus to get our spirits up. We'll fill up to the rim with the love that pours from him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus is always worth a second cup. Yeah, the goodness of Jesus is always worth a second cup.
Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that Jesus is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. Today's message is you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. This comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. I'm going to be talking to you today in what the Bible talks about, the cup. Yeah, the cup. I don't know about you, but you've probably heard of the World Cup or the Stanley Cup or maybe a rugby cup. But there's a lot of these cups, they're trophies or they're cups, but believe it or not, that is the cup of divination. That is the cup of divination. You see, there's such things out there called a magic cup. In Genesis chapter 44, verse 5, is it not my master's drinking cup, with which he divines the future? You have done wrong in doing this. Joseph, at that time, he was saying that his master, he believed that the cup was magical. They believed that this drinking cup, it was the divination of his cup. And it relates to deceiving for a short time. You need to understand this today, that in Genesis 44:15, ye not did know that such a person having such a cup would accurately and attentively look into it. See, a lot of these leaders and a lot of these rulers, they used to believe their cup was magical, and that is where you got the cup bearer, and so they would serve the Lord, or they would serve the king their magical cup, and so this was a practice of divination, and so we need to understand the spiritual insight to this cup. This cup represented a form of immortality. They say it represented the control of the whole world. And this is where the cup was showing of the universe, and it means to attribute to great prosperity of the ancient monarchs, as they understood all events, past, present, and to come, was all in this divine magical cup. Yeah, so this is what the Persians believed, that the cup was magical. The cup, it showed the powers of the universe, and so they really did worship the cup. Now, in this world today, we have the World Cup. We have a cup that says, I'm the greatest in all the world. This goes all the way back to the Persians. They believed that the cup was a form of immorality, and it was a divine and divination. And if anything happened to this cup, this cup, many of the princes and the governors, the effects still have information of the future by means of the cup. So they used to look at the cup, and the cup meant future. So, in all nature, the Arabs used to believe that their power came through the cup. And so they would look at the cup, and they used to believe that the cup would tell them of threats that would come their way. So they would consult the cup, and he knew that sorts of people they were. And so this was all divination. That was the cup that controlled the universe. The cup had immortality. It was, but you see, the divining cup still exists, and it is in the very same country too, in which Joseph formerly ruled. Now, this is not all likely that Joseph, he partaked in this kind of evil kind of divination with the cup, but he is very aware of the superstitious power of the cup. So they believe that the cup had some supernatural influence that might attribute to his cup, and as the whole transaction relates here, was merely intended to deceive his brethren for a short time, he might as well affect of the divination of the cup. So, the cup. We're going to be talking about the cup and what the Bible talks about the cup. And you see the scripture saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. I don't know about you today, but don't you think in this world today that we worship the cup? I don't know how many trophies I see that people are delivering, and it has this cup. A big old cup. Right? Why does the world worship the cup? Why does the world worship a cup? I don't know. We get up in the morning and we have what? A cup of coffee. I don't know. I'd rather have a cup of Jesus in the morning, but the world worships the cup. I know some people, they really worship the cup of coffee that they drink. I mean, they get up and the first thing that they think about is drinking a cup of coffee. What's in the cup of your life? Is the cup half full or is the cup half empty? Now, very interesting, the Bible says that you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Now, you need to understand this today, that the Bible says, is your cup half full or is your cup half empty? So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, it is vain that you frequent those idle festivals, profess the religions of Christ, and commemorate his death and passion in the Holy Eucharist. For you cannot have the fellowship with Christ, which this ordinance implies, while you are partaking in the table of demons. Here, you cannot drink the cup of religion, which means you cannot worship your church and also drink the cup of Jesus. You cannot be a Jesus worshiper and a worshiper of Jesus. You see, so what was happening in Corinthians, they were partaking in the cup of demons with their church worship. Oh, come on, somebody. So the Bible says that I forbid you to, of course, it was not a physical impossibility for some to lead such double lives. And it may be inferred that some of Corinth were actually partaking in both. But it was a sin. The word here indicates it was a morally impossible to do such a thing. So the church started leading double lives. They were drinking the cup of demons, and they were drinking the cup of angels. So the custom here was drinking a toast at feast, and celebrations arose this practice of pouring out wine or drinking in honor of the heathen gods. So they would drink the cup from heathen gods, and in practice that partakes still of the nature of heathenism. So no man can spiritually, however he may externally, partake of the entertainment provided on the table of the Lord at his supper, institute, and kept in commemoration of him. So, what was going on here? They were leading double lives. They were drinking the cup of demons, and they were drinking the cup of the Lord. God says you can't have both. You need to understand this today, what the cup really means. Have you had a cup of Jesus today? Are you having a cup of Jesus today? Do you know the world in soccer, they worship the cup? This is nothing new. This comes out of Persia, the cup worship. I don't know about you, but I know people that worship a cup of coffee. They love their coffee so much, they worship it. You see, the cup was filled with immorality, and many of the princes, they would divine, and they believed that the cup held power, and so they would contact their cup or rub their cup, and they would think that God would speak to them through their cup. Do you understand that today? I don't know how many of you drink a cup of coffee that somehow you think that cup of coffee is going to give you a boost. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you a boost in your life. And you can't worship the Rugby World Cup. You cannot worship the Stanley World Cup. Or you cannot even worship the World Cup. What is going on with all this cup worshiping? I went to the store and they said, would you like to have my magic cup? I said, what are you talking about, a magic cup? I don't really care about your magic cup. Come on, somebody. I don't know, sorcerers, didn't they used to look into this magic cup? Holy cow, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, here we have a mother's request. And she was speaking to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you wish, ma'am? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right one and on your left. But Jesus answered, do you not know what you are asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Now you need to understand something today, that the cup of Jesus is different than the cup of the world. You see, the world drinks from a different kind of cup. Holy cow! The world worships this divine cup. Holy cow! The world wants to bow down and worship a cup. Whether it's a coffee cup, whether it's the Stanley Cup, whether it's the World Cup. But I'm here to tell you, it's a kind of divination. It's very satanic. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 21, that you cannot worship the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Oh my gosh, you cannot follow the cup of the world or the cup of Jesus. Holy cow, come on somebody. I'm here to tell you right now that the only cup that you should be drinking is Jesus' cup. in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, and he withdrew from them about the stone's throw. And he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthening him. You see, Jesus was dealt the cup of wrath. Oh my gosh, he was dealt the cup of wrath. You see, throughout Scripture, as in the ancient Near East, the cup functions as a metaphor for an individual's fate. It was a metaphor, so in Psalms chapter 16, the psalmist credits the Lord with assigning his portion and cup in life. I don't know about you, but each one of you, you have been assigned a cup. You have been assigned an individual fate in your life. And so in Psalms chapter 23, it equates to an abundant life with an overflowing cup. Now, the potent image in the world. So some of you, you have been assigned an overflowing cup of an abundant life. While others of you have been assigned a cup of hardship. The culmination of the positive image of the cup. Here I hope today that you will have a positive cup of your life. In Psalms 116, I hope today that the cup of your life will be full. Here the psalmist raises the cup of salvation as a thank offering to God, in effect offering the sum of his life to the Lord. You see, the Bible is very clear that there is cups in Psalms chapter 11, verse 6. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone, and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. I don't know about you, but there's a cup that's coming to America. And this cup is a judgment. Oh my gosh, I'm here to tell you today that you have to stop worshiping this cup. Oh my gosh, I don't know why the world and people love to worship cups. Why is it that we think we're powerful when we're standing around and holding a cup? I don't know. I remember when I was in the military, I saw all my leaders, they were doing nothing. Why? They were doing nothing except standing around and holding a cup. As if something about holding a cup made you powerful. This is nothing new under the sun. They used to think the Pharaoh and these governors, they used to have a cup bearer. That means that he was supposed to hold the cup. Oh my gosh. The cup, it's so demonic today. Why do you worship the cup? What the heck's in your coffee? Is that really sugar and cream? Is that sugar and cream in your coffee? Or is that just black beans? I don't know. What are you drinking? But why do you gotta keep worshiping this cup of coffee when really all you need is a cup of Jesus? So, in the vision of destruction recorded in Jeremiah 25:15, God will force all the nations to drink from his cup, a staggered to destruction. None are able to refuse it. All humanity will be judged and the wicked put to the sword. Ezekiel returns to the image of the cup of Jerusalem in the brutality explicit passage depicting Samaria and Jerusalem, representing the people of God as two sisters who are prostitutes. The prophet calls the cup that Jerusalem drinks is from the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. Yes, we're talking about the cup of destruction. This was the individual's fate, the cup. When someone says, is your cup full or is your cup empty, what does that mean? Is your fate of life going to be positive or is your life going to be negative? Here the Bible says in Jeremiah that the cup of destruction was coming on them. It was the cup of destruction. I don't know about you today, but why do people worship this cup? What cup are you drinking from? You can't drink from the cup of the Lord, and you cannot drink from the cup of Satan. So, what we have is those people in society, they worship satanic cups. Okay? They worship satanic cups, and they're worshiping the cup of the world, and then they go into church, and then there you have the priest or whatever, and you remember the cup and the bread, and then he wipes around the rim of the cup, and then they drink the cup of the Lord. That's exactly what it's talking about. They go out in the world, and they drink the cup of the world, and then they come into the church, and then they drink the cup of the church. I mean, and the Bible is very clear. You're either going to drink the cup of the Lord, or you're going to drink the cup of demons, but you can't drink out of both. Okay? And so in Psalms 23:5, the Bible says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." My cup overflows. Okay? In Psalms 116:13, "I shall lift up the cup of" what? "Salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." In Revelation 17:4, "The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, the adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her hand on a gold cup full of abomination and the unclean things of her immorality." What is it about a man and a woman and their cups? Now, some of you today are probably listening to me from your work. Look around and see how many people have a cup. I mean, the cup. I'm not saying you got to drink out of your hands, but why are we worshiping the cup? Here in Revelation 17:4, what we have is the woman, the Jezebel whore. She had her hand on a gold cup, and this cup was full of abomination and unclean things of her immorality. Don't you know that there's a cup of immorality that's being poured out onto America today? It is so disgusting. Somebody poured their evil, unclean cup. I mean, could you imagine just taking some dirty water and being poured on you? It's like something in a cup that just sat and stinks. That's what happened to America. Somebody just poured out their stinky cup of, you know. So, what do we have here? We have a cup of abomination and unclean things of her immorality in Isaiah 51:17. Rouse yourself, arise, O Jerusalem. You have drunk from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger. The chalice of rearing you has drained to the dregs. You need to understand that Jesus Christ could pour out, and he is going to pour out a cup of anger on America if we don't repent. He could pour out a cup of anger on your church if you don't repent. I don't know how many churches today, they don't even have a picture of Jesus in their church. Well, you know, I was watching this video of this drug lord. And, you know, when the police raided this drug lord's house, he had a picture of his leader. And if you go to most churches, they will, Buddha, will have a picture of Buddha, because they worship their leader. But American churches, that their leader is supposed to be Jesus Christ, has taken them down. You see, this is evil under the sun. We no longer have a picture of our leader, who is Jesus, because they're arguing about what Jesus looked like. It didn't matter what he looked like. What matters is you don't even have a picture of your leader on your walls. And that's what's happening to American churches today. So we are partaking, and most people who go to church are drinking from the cup of Satan and not the cup of Jesus Christ. So here we have in Isaiah 51:17, drinking from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger. And Psalm 75:8, "For the cup is in his hand of the Lord, and the wine foams, it is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs, the cup of the Lord's anger." Yes. The Lord's anger is going to be poured out on earth like a cup. So what about you? Is your cup half full? Is your cup half empty? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You just cannot drink it. The cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You know, when Jesus prayed about avoiding the cup, he is alluding to these images from the scriptures. By going to the cross, he will drink the cup of God's wrath. All the way to the bottom, he will bear divine judgment, in which rightly falls upon Israel and indeed upon all humanity. And in this process, he will suffer horribly, both in the physical realm and especially in the spiritual realm, as he enters the hell of separation from his Father. What about you? You have drunk from the cup of the Lord's fury. You have drunk from the cup of terror, tipping it to the last drops. Would you like to drink the cup filled with blessings and salvation in Psalms 23:5 and 116:13? It can be, or your cup can be filled with wrath and horror. What cup are you going to drink from? Are you going to drink from Jesus' cup, or are you going to drink from the devil's cup? But you can't drink from both, you see. You can't drink from the cup filled with blessings and salvation and at the same time drink from the cup filled with wrath and horror. What am I saying here? You cannot study the Bible, then go watch television. Television is going to give you horror. Wrath and horror. No. You can't drink from both cups. Psalms 116:13, I shall lift my cup of salvation, of blessings. What about you? Is your cup half full or is your cup half empty? Now, what is in your cup? Is it black coffee, brown coffee? Did you put sugar in your cup? Some of you are drinking whiskey in the cup. Some of you got sweet lemonade in your cup. Are you worshiping the cup today? Are you worshiping your cup of coffee? Are you worshiping the cup of coffee? Man, I know somebody, and I'm not going to mention their names, but I went to visit him, and he's like, hey, check out my new coffee maker. I mean, look at my coffee. I love my coffee. What did you have this morning to wake you up? A cup of coffee or a cup of Jesus? I got a cup of Jesus. I have a cup of Jesus to wake me up in the morning. But you can't drink out of Jesus' cup and you can't drink out of Satan's cup at the same time. The Bible is very clear about that. What cup are you drinking now? Why in America do we worship the cup? This is my question to you, and I want you to think about it. Why are we worshiping the cup? Wake up. Wake up, O Jerusalem. Wake up. Wake up, you. You have drunk the cup of the Lord's fury. You have drunk the cup of terror, tipping it to the last drop. You have drunk the cup of suffering. Wake up. Wake up. Don't you want to drink the cup of Jesus? So we see that Jesus, he not only does he pray at the Mount of Olives, but he also prays at Gethsemane. And both of them, he's saying, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them, and he fell to the face and he prayed, saying, my Father, is it possible to let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering? Remove this cup from me. Jesus said that in Mount of Olives. Can this cup pass from me? He said that at Gethsemane. I want for you to drink the cup of salvation. I want you to drink the cup of blessings in your life. I want you to be blessed, and I want your cup to be full positively, realistically. And the only way to have your cup full today is to turn your life towards Jesus Christ. Turn your life towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will make your cup full again with blessings. Jesus Christ will make you shine once again. You see, Jesus should be that cup that you drink every morning. Jesus should be that cup when you wake up and say, fill me with the cup of blessings. Fill me with the salvation of the Lord. Wake me up, Lord. Fill this cup of mine, because I want Jesus to fill my cup, and I want you to drink out of the cup of salvation. What about you today? Are we going to stop worshiping the World Cup and start drinking the cup of Jesus? Can we just stop worshiping our cups and start drinking the cup of Jesus? In America today, we need Jesus more than ever. In America today, we need the cup of Jesus to flow upon us. In America today, we need Jesus. Can somebody give me a cup of Jesus in the morning? Can somebody pour me the cup of Jesus? Amen.
Some folks I know, they need their morning coffee. They need their morning coffee to help face the day. But all I need is His sweet inspiration in my life to pick me up and get me on my way. I have a cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. I have a cup of Jesus to get my spirit up. I fill me to the rim with the love that pours from Him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus is always for the second cup. Some folks I know, they wrestle with the devil. They wrestle with the devil, cause they ain't seen the light. But someday soon I'll have them come for breakfast, yes I will. And show them how to start the day out right. We'll have a cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. We'll have a cup of Jesus to get our spirits up. We'll fill us to the rim with the love that pours from Him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus is always worth a second cup. Cup of Jesus first thing in the morning. We'll have a cup of Jesus to get our spirits up. We'll fill us to the rim with the love that pours from Him. Ah, the goodness of Jesus.